Welcome to The Christian Atheist, where faith and reason fuse in the Incarnation. Episode number 138, Malachi, My Messenger, Part 3, Questioning God. As we observed last episode, the book of God's messenger, Malachi, is first addressed to the people of Israel, beginning with the pervasive question and answer form. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Historically, we should note the relevance and context of this questioning of God's love. Both the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BC and the southern kingdom of Judah, 586 BC, had been conquered. Judah's population was deported to Babylonia, what we now call the Babylonian captivity, which lasted 70 years. The 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel, taken into captivity by the Assyrians 136 years prior to Babylon's defeat of Judah, never returned. The book of Malachi was almost certainly written sometime following the extended return of the remnant of Judah's captives from Babylon, following the Persian king Cyrus's emancipation proclamation in 539 BC, recounted in 2 Chronicles 36 and Ezra 1. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah, a single book in the Hebrew canon, were again almost certainly contemporaneous to the author of Malachi. The tasks of the returning exiles, rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem under Zerubbabel of the royal line of David, restoring the religious sacrifice and practice under Ezra, a Levitical priest, and rebuilding Jerusalem's defensive walls under Nehemiah, was not without its difficulties. It would be natural to question God's love in such a circumstance, wouldn't it? Yet God had been faithful while his people, Israel, from kings and priests to the people themselves, had been faithless. Defeat and captivity were the results of their sin. Now, God having moved the heart of their captors to restore their fortunes in the land given to them by God, a stunningly unique historical fact, they again question his word to them. It is critical to all that follows in Malachi to understand this question. How have you loved us? Immediately preceding this question, we had the explicit declaration of the God that revealed himself to Moses as the great I Am, whose revealed name is given here in the first lines of this book. I have loved you, says Yahweh. It is in this context that the question arises. What is being questioned here? Questions can be neutral information seeking. In this sense, those asking the Lord, Yahweh, would be seeking to understand the love of God toward them. Can you give us details on how your love played out to us? Help us to understand it better. God answers these questions throughout Malachi in precisely this information-seeking spirit. But like a weary and disappointed parent, he is repeating, for the thousandth time, what his children already know. He recounts here his choice of Jacob over Esau in answer. What is also clear, then, is the subtext of this question, its hard-edged undercurrent. It is not seeking answers, but denying God's word, his love, his authority. It is a veiled accusation. You have not loved us. This subtext places the question on what we here at The Christian Atheist have called the atheistic continuum. Fundamental faith is the underlying assumption that reality can be trusted, that all of creation, quote, is very good, as God declared in Genesis. In a word, it is the fundamental axiomatic assumption that God is good, value itself, that all that he does is good. This is the starting point for faith in the God of the Bible. These questions reveal a lack of faith in God, hidden behind a deceptive strategy of asking a question. Every wise and loving parent knows this strategy. It is not a new strategy. Satan said to Eve, "Hath God said? Can you really believe his word? Trust his revelation." Questioning God honestly is both enlightening and God-honoring. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. God loves an honest question and an honest questioner. This asking, seeking, and knocking all depend upon an honest approach that believes there is a good thing to be given, that the good you seek can be found, and that on the other side of that door is a good person who will open it to you. Questioning wrongly starts with a denial of the fundamental goodness that makes asking, seeking, and knocking worthwhile activities. It is a mockery of the activity of questioning itself. This is clear in Malachi 1. "For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts." God is not unaware of the contempt being poured out against him by the religious leaders in Malachi's day, or in the time of Jesus and John the Baptist, so clearly indicated here in Malachi, or now, when they do not take his word seriously. This section of the book is very specifically addressed to the priests who have undertaken the renewed Jewish worship on the return from the Babylonian captivity. It must have grieved God deeply to see his bountiful love for his people being thrown so contemptuously in his face. He says of the newly restored temple to his name in his holy city, "Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you," says the Lord of hosts. When we question God, are we seeking to know him, to better and more deeply love him, to please him by conforming our wayward wills to his perfect will? Or are our questions making a mockery of the King of Kings and his love for us? Does our questioning honestly seek to discover the truth and to conform our thinking to it as the scientific ideal holds out? Or do we, as individuals and as a culture, ask questions to arrogate to ourselves the power and authority which belong to God alone? Are our questions deceptive screens behind which we hide from ourselves our fundamental denial of what is evident to all rational beings? Hide our resentments, our ambitions, and our lack of faith in God's absolute reality? This is the atheism of our age. It is time for the church to turn and to stand for God's word. No compromise. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts.
I am a Christian, with the searching and skeptical mind of an atheist. I don't want to believe anything that isn't true. I know both sides of the looking glass, and I know them with open eyes. I choose Christ's side. I invite you to join me from wherever you stand before the looking glass. That's this week's episode. Thanks for listening. And remember, you can have your religious cake and eat it too. You can have reason, respect for science, a 21st century worldview, and be a Christian.